الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected brothers and elders and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world full of difficulties and full of challenges. And this is from the moment we are born. We see many women, they go through difficult births. The pregnancy itself is difficult. And once the child comes into this world, the first thing that he does is cries. And this is also from the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that when a child is born, the shaitan pinches it. The purpose is that the moment we're born, or even before when we're born from, we come into this world with difficulties. Then we grow up, and some children have difficulties in their form in terms of disabilities, in terms of the health. As you grow older, there's challenges around family, challenges with living with family, challenges with the neighborhood, with the community. Then we grow up, there's challenges with our peers at school, at college, at university. We face challenges of finances. We face challenges when we're going to get married, who's going to be the right person? Are they compatible with me? After that, we have challenges of our own children, our own progeny, grandchildren. Then we grow older, and there's challenges of health and ill health and pains and aches. The point is that we come into this world with difficulties, and life is full of difficulties. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that with every difficulty, with every illness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a cure also. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ دَاءً إِلَّا لَهُ شِفَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down a difficulty, an illness, but with that illness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also sent down a cure for it. And one of the best weapons, one of the best tools for the cure of a human being, especially for a mu'min, is the Quran Sharif, is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quite openly mentions, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That we had revealed within the Quran shifa and cure for the mu'mineen, and a source of blessing for the mu'mineen. And this attains both to difficulties and illnesses within our body, medical illnesses, where a person is medically ill in terms of he's got a headache, he's got some pain, he's got cancer, he's got any form of illness related to his body and his mind. And in the same way, there's cure in the Quran for illnesses related spiritually. Many of us and all of us, we suffer from spiritual illnesses. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent down with three purposes, which the Quran alludes to. And one of them was وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify them. We hear the Sahaba, the history of the Sahaba, how they were. They were the time that they lived in pre-Nabuwah, pre-prophethood was named the time of Jahiliyyah, time of ignorance, where they used to murder one another over small things. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to them. That same Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who went out to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam purifying him, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifying him, he became the second Khalifa of Islam. So this was the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the purposes was to purify the mu'mineen and to make the akhlaq, the character, the best. And that's why we turn to the Quran whenever we have illnesses, especially spiritual illnesses. The Quran has a remedy for this. And one illness that is paramount in our society today, which leads on to the illness I want to talk about today, is the illness of hasad and jealousy. It's such an illness that in hadith is mentioned, إِيَّاكَ وَالْحَسَدِ, safeguard yourself from jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبِ. That save yourself from jealousy, because jealousy will eat your good deeds, just like the fire eats and consumes dry hay. We see when there's a fire, we put hay in it, dry grass in it, how quickly does it consume it? We see wildfires, especially in the summer. That's why they ban barbecues. Disposable barbecues are banned in the Yorkshire Dales and in the moors. What's the reason for this? One disposable barbecue for £3 causes havoc in the countryside. Hectares and hectares of land is consumed because just one spark is enough for the dry grass to get consumed. This is the same analogy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. A person who is jealous of his neighbor, of his family, of his brother, of his sister, of the people in his community. Somebody's got more wealth. Somebody's got more children. Somebody's got a better job. Somebody's got a bigger house. You are jealous. All the deeds that you are doing, they're being consumed just like fire consumes dry grass. And then this leads on to some people, unfortunately, taking extreme measures and going down the route of black magic, down the route of sihr, which is also mentioned in the Quran. This is part of our iman. There are two extremes in our community. Some people, they completely rely on magic. Anything you say to them, oh, jadu ka asarat hai. The child falls ill, jadu ka asarat hai. They fell down, somebody did jadu on me. Oh, I'm not doing well in my job, somebody did jadu. Brother, you're not doing well in your job because you're not progressing. You're not putting in the effort. Nothing to do with magic. On the other extreme in our community, we've got people who completely dismiss this. That when somebody is really taken back by magic or is possessed by a jinn, again, which is from the Quran, which I'll come to in a second, then totally dismiss, oh no, no, there's no such thing like that. You're just being, oh, you're just overthinking. You know, somebody's got depression, they've got some difficulty behind them, they totally dismiss it, especially in our community. These are the two extremes. However, we learn from the Quran itself that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was possessed by magic. And you'll be astonished, some of us will be astonished, how? We've never heard this before. The reason is that we don't link ourselves to the Quran. The Quran, 114 surahs in the Quran, the ulama, when they teach the tafsir of the Quran, one of the first things they teach is the shani nuzul, the reason of revelation. Every surah has a reason of revelation. Why was the surah revealed? There's a background story to it. It wasn't just revealed for the sake of being revealed. This Quran is for us as a manual and a guide for the day of Qiyamah. So there has to be a reason for revelation. And the last two surahs in the Quran, which are known as the Mu'awwadhatayn, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, if you look into the tafsir of these surahs, the main purpose these surahs were revealed was because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had magic done on him. And the narration is that a certain individual and a young person, a munafiq, he used to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he used to frequent his gatherings. And somebody put him up to it that you get the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he managed to attain the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He managed to attain a comb of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to some narrations, he managed to attain some teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took it to a magician and the magician did magic on it. And then this was buried under a date palm or in a well, according to some narrations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam exactly who took it, what was done on it, what was prayed on it, and where it was buried. So he sent the sahaba to go and take it out from the well. And one night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was sleeping and two angels came to him in his dream. And our aqeedah, our belief is that one of the ways of wahi, of revelation is that angels used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. A dream of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a true dream. He used to see many dreams which were all true. So two angels came, they sat by him in his dream and they were talking and they said to one another, what's happened to this person? And they said, he's been possessed. And then the story goes on, who's done it? Where has it been done? And it was revealed that he was under the well or under the date palm and he was in a comb and they were tied 11 knots and things were prayed on there. And if you count the ayat of قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ, there are 11 ayat. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the comb was brought to him, he read, every time he read the ayat, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, then one knot opened. مِن شَدِّ مَا خَلَقَ, another knot opened. وَمِن شَدِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ, another knot opened, until 11 knots that were tied, they were all opened. The purpose is, respected brothers and elders, we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves before we start running to the jinn busters. Protect ourselves how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to protect ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he used to go to sleep, this is a sunnah that is not acted upon in our society. And it's mentioned in the hadith, if you bring alive a sunnah that is not acted upon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of 100 martyrs. So from today, make an intention that we are going to act upon this sunnah inshallah. Before we go to sleep, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come on his bed. He used to get his hands, just like a person is making dua. He used to put his hands like this. Then he used to read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ. He used to blow on his hands. Little bit spit comes out, that much. Or just blow on your hands. Then he used to start from the back of his head. And he used to come to the front of his face, all the way to his feet, to the back of his body, wherever the hands reach. And he used to do this 3 times. And if you look into the meaning of قُلْ أَضْرِبِ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَضْرِبِ النَّاسِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبٍ, what does this mean? When the night penetrates, the magicians, the filth, it comes out at night. The jinnat, they come out at night mainly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to seek refuge from the darkness of the night, from the evil of the night. After every salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ, after every salah. After salah al-fajr and salah of maghrib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read these duas three times. How many of us read these duas? Then when we go and complain to people that, oh, I need to find somebody, is there an amil? Or is there somebody who's not a fraud? Or went to so-and-so, I went abroad, they took hundreds of thousands of pounds from me, and nothing's been cured. After 2 months, I'm back to the same stage. We're not acting upon what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to act upon. So the sunnah is, after every salah, we read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ. After Fajr salah and after Maghrib salah, these are the times when the evil comes out. The first ayat, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, what does it mean? I seek refuge in the Lord of the dawn. When the dawn happens in the morning, this is the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read it 3 times. And then later on, the darkness of the night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read this dua 3 times after Maghrib, these 3 surahs. That's why they say, and even alhamdulillah, many people act upon it now, don't let the children go out at Maghrib time. There's a reason. There's a reason that our elders taught us this. Don't go, tell the women not to go out without the scarves. Don't go out in the state of impurity. The shaitan attacks in certain moments when you're impure, when you need a ghusl. Then have a ghusl quickly. Otherwise, you're going to attract the shayateen in the house. Why is there dua to go into the toilet? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. What does it mean? Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the evil shaitan, the female and the male. Because they live in them. They live in the toilets. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you enter the house, read Bismillah. Otherwise, shaitan will enter with you in the house. When you start eating, read Bismillah. Otherwise, shaitan will eat with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the shayateen and the jinn with food on the bones. That's why he say, don't chew the chicken wing so much that there's nothing left for the shaitan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts meat on there and rizq on there. And remember, shaitan are many, many fold more than us. And this is from the Quran. Ya ma'ashar al-jinn wal-insi in istakthartum min al-insi. Ya ma'ashar al-jinn wal-insi in istakthartum min al-insi. Of my misquoted ayah, but anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran that I have created you far more than the ins. The jinnat have been created far more than the jinn from the ins. And there's good in them and there's evil in them. There'll be many of them sitting here now within us, within the Jummah Salah. Nothing to be afraid of. They are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There'll be many of them in the street. But there's many more fool than insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them far more. And there's good in them, there's evil in them. There's Muslimin in them, there's Mushrikeen in them, there's Kafirin in them. But we have to protect ourselves. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sihr done on him, had magic done on him, then who are we that we are going to be protected without taking these precautions? This is the moral and this is the summary of today's talk, that we protect ourselves before something happens to us. And despite that happening, if something happens, then we be patient. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most pure from amongst us. He was the most innocent. He had no sins on him. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed, for some reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to have magic done on him. There's a story behind that. There's a reason behind that. But for the ummah, we have to learn. We have to take precautions. So the takeaways from today's talk is that after every salah, including starting from today's salah, after Jummah salah, we don't leave the masjid. There's few a'mal. We have to do basic. Basic a'mal we have to do. We don't leave the masjid until we've done this. Number one is read Ayatul Kursi, a biggest protector from amongst these things, amongst evil, hasad, jealousy, people looking at you with the wrong eye, with the evil eye. The evil eye is also haqq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, Al-aynu haqqun. Somebody can just look at you and you'll fall ill. Somebody has a nice mango tree, you just look at it with the wrong intention and that won't give any mangoes for the next 5 years. Parents can give an evil eye to their own children. Grandparents can give an evil eye to their grandchildren. So, al-aynu haqqun, whenever you see something, you see a cute child, you see something nice, you see somebody's nice car, somebody's nice house, somebody just moved and got a new job, always say, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that person away from the evil. So we don't leave the masjid until we read Ayatul Kursi after every salah. A person who dies between them two salah, you read Ayatul Kursi after Jummah, you die before Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will straight send you into Jannah. You don't leave the masjid until we read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And we don't leave the masjid until we read Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Rabbil Nas after every salah. And after Fajr salah, after Maghrib salah, we read these duas, these surahs 33 times. And like I mentioned before, you go to sleep, don't lie down until you do this. Until you get your hands, you read the three quls, you blow on your hands, you start from the back of your head, and wherever your hands reach, and you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. And we also have to take precaution in the sense that our making sure the income in our household is halal, making sure we stay pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the ones who are pure. Try to stay in the state of wudu. We go to the loo, we go to the bathroom, we relieve ourselves. Just do wudu quickly. If you can't do, wash each limb three times, wash each limb one time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to wash his limbs one time. Sometimes he taught the sahaba to wash their limbs two times. Quickly make wudu, because this is a big shield and a big protector from shaitan. And whenever we are in need of a ghusl, then we have a ghusl straight away. If there's any impurities in the house, remove them, chuck them in the bin as soon as we need to. Don't leave them in the house, because this attracts impurity. This is what's going to cause problems between the husband and the wife. This is what's going to cause problems between the children. We have to protect ourselves like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and then we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to act upon this and act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, brothers can just fill in the gaps and before the adhan, inshallah, just come forward, inshallah, and fill in the gaps.